Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is week 13 in college football. Really, the final major regular season week. It's unbelievable, but here we are, week 13. He is Fran Duffy of the Philadelphia Eagles, their video and scouting guru. I am Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Make sure you check out Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. If you're a Facebook person, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. A ton of stuff, Fran, to get to today. We are presented by the Amazon banner ad over at RossTucker.com. I know where your head's at, a lot of you. Black Friday coming up, Cyber Monday. You got all the different sales. You're going to buy stuff for the holidays. Do us a huge, huge favor and support the show if you like it so we can keep the show going. And click on the Amazon banner ad over at RossTucker.com. It takes you to a landing page, and you can bookmark that or whatever, or save it. But at any rate, have it so that you can make your order through there. Really, really helps. As always, Fran, let us start with the quarterbacks. They made it easy on us this week with Josh Allen not playing and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen playing against each other. You only even had to check out one game, Fran. You could be lazy this weekend.
Yeah, exactly right. They definitely made it easy. I guess really the big news, honestly, between the three is even though Josh Allen didn't play, he was announced with the seniors for senior day. It was Wyoming's the final home game of the season for them. And then the head coach, Craig Bohl, said afterwards he fully expects Josh Allen to declare for the draft. So without an official announcement, that's probably about as official as we're going to get at this point, that Josh Allen will be in this draft. And then, you know, you go over to the USC-UCLA game. Ross, I don't know how much you caught of it, but I thought both guys were pretty sharp. You know, the numbers weren't outstanding, but I thought both guys really performed pretty well in the game.
Yeah, I did not get a chance to. I was in travel hell, so I did not get a chance to watch nearly as much as I would have liked. It was interesting, though. It seemed like, you know, just following along on Twitter, that the consensus was that Rosen – you know, is the better passer, and that Rosen kind of had the better night. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, Rosen, you look at his numbers, he finished 32 of 52, over 400 yards passing, three touchdowns, a pick. He did lose a fumble at the end of the first half. Overall, obviously a losing effort, but Darnold made some great plays. You know, I thought that he made an outstanding throw on a play where he stepped up, navigated through the pressure, stepped out of pressure, made a great pinpoint throw along the right sideline in a two-minute drill, made some really nice touch throws in the game. So even though both guys, I think, made some big throws in the game, I think it's fair to say that a lot of people view Rosen maybe as the superior arm talent. But overall, I thought both guys looked sharp in the game.
Got it. There's also some news as terms of Senior Bowls. 26 names were announced by the Senior Bowl yesterday. I'll fire the position at you, and then you let me know some of the guys that have already made it clear that they will be in attendance at the Senior Bowl. How about running back?
Well, there was one announcement on Monday afternoon, and that was Royce Freeman from Oregon. You know, 6 foot, 234 pounds, a big, strong back, does a good job protecting the football. Not a top-shelf athlete, and I think that'll ding him a little bit as the process unfolds, but has been productive for the last 4 years. I mean, he's been a four-year starter for them at Oregon. So a guy that's got a ton of experience. He's got a lot of carries under his belt, though. I would like to see him get a little bit more natural in terms of picking his way through trash, and I'd like to see him get a little bit better in pass protection as well. But overall, I think it'll be a good opportunity for Freeman to kind of prove himself down there in Mobile.
You know, Fran, I just remember there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about the quarterbacks. What do you make of the Baker Mayfield crotch grab? And you know, a lot of people are talking about him as a first round pick now. He's had some other stuff, you know, an arrest, you know, the flag thing. And now he was stripped of his captaincy this week. What do you make of how that will impact his NFL draft stock, if at all?
Well, I think that just brushing it aside, I think is a little silly. I do think that here's the way I look at it. I tweeted this on Sunday or Saturday, one of the 2 days. I think if you like Baker Mayfield, okay, this is just a human reaction. If you like him, then you're going to say, oh, you know what, that's just another example of his competitiveness. That's right. He's a two-time walk-on that became a starter in the Big 12. You know, that's the moxie and the competitiveness, the fire that I love with a guy. If you don't like him, then you're going to look at it and say, well, now it's just another example of a string of bad behavior. And like you mentioned, I mean, it seems like a pretty consistent theme where he's kind of made a spectacle of himself, right? Like you talk about, you know, that him planting the flag in midfield. You talk about him wearing the T-shirt before the Texas Tech game this year. You talk about, you know, him going off to the media a couple years ago about TCU and how they hung him out to dry during the recruiting process. You know, you mentioned the arrest this spring for public intoxication, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and running away from a police officer. You know, there's just lots of different examples where you're kind of pointing. And if this was just in a vacuum, you look at it and say, all right, well, it's not that big of a deal as a college kid. But when it's a big part of a long string of examples, I think that's when people will kind of look at that and kind of and wonder. Now, I do think, though, that there is something to be said for, you know, a quarterback, you know, towing the line between, you know, competitive and fiery, and then also maybe just a sense of false bravado. And I think that there's going to be some people that look at that and say, where does he kind of fall on that spectrum?
So I don't know, Ross, if you've played with anybody throughout your career that you can kind of think of that maybe came in a little bit immature to the league, but then kind of grew out of that and became a really good player. But I don't know, man. It's gonna be a really interesting debate. I think that he's certainly going to be one of the more polarizing figures in this draft. There are going to be some people that love him and love everything about him, and there are going to be some that are going to question that and wonder if that's going to be a hindrance for him at the next level, if people are going to buy into that once you get into the NFL and it's a professional league. You're playing with adults. So it's going to be a very interesting to see, just see how that whole process plays out. To me, though, it's not a good look.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, you know, they all have huge chips on their shoulders for different reasons. And they're extremely feisty and competitive, but they don't do dumb stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a really, really weak excuse. Let's get back to some of the Senior Bowl invites. We got four wide receivers. Who do you got?
I think there's some really interesting receivers going, and three of the four guys right now are all bigger bodies. You know, Jaleel Scott from New Mexico State is a player I just got a chance to watch recently. And I made the comparison in my Saturday scouting article this week that he kind of reminds me a little bit of a poor man's Plaxico Burress, just because he's tall, he's long, he excels up at the catch point, made some great plays down the field so far this year, has been a really fun player to watch so far. You guys know how I feel about Allen Lazard from Iowa State, another big body kid who lines up in the slot, could be kind of a mismatch type player at the next level. Michael Gallup from Colorado State, I'm pretty sure is the leading receiver in college football right now, has been extremely productive. Another big body who can go up and find the football in the air. And then you've got Anthony Miller from Memphis, who has been extremely productive and who has been who's had some of the best games in terms of pure numbers so far this season. More of a slot guy, I think, at the next level. He's not a dynamic athlete. He's not overly big. I want to say he's in that 5'11", 6-foot range. He's not a really dynamic kid. But in terms of his route running, in terms of his hands, his ability to play the ball in the air, I think he's just a really solid player. So I really like Anthony Miller. He doesn't have the upside of, say, a Jaleel Scott, but I think Miller is going to play at the next level.
How about tight ends, including my guy Adam Brenneman from right here in Harrisburg?
That's right. Brenneman made it from UMass, the former Penn State kid. Ian Thomas from Indiana, who I haven't gotten a chance to watch yet, but I've heard some good things about. So he is going to be at the game. Chris Herndon from Miami is a really athletic kid. We've talked about him, his ability to get down the seam. Like Brenneman, I think, kind of sets him apart from some of the guys in this class. He can make plays with the ball in his hands as well. And you know, I've said since the summer that Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State is my number one tight end in this class. So really excited to potentially see him in person as well. Extremely productive over the last couple of years. A big kid who I think could be a three down type of player at the next level, the tight end spot.
O-line. What do we got on the O-line?
I'll tell you what, man, it's a pretty interesting group overall, and I'm talking about the whole class in general, and the names that were announced so far are pretty intriguing as well. Tyrell Crosby from Oregon, the left tackle, has seen kind of a revelation this year. He's been in the lineup for the Ducks, but to me, from everything I've heard, because I didn't watch him before this season, he has really taken a big jump in his play. He can move people at the point of attack. He does a really nice job in the run game. He's a technically sound kid. Some people think he could slide to guard in a pinch, but I think he's got the ability to play tackle in the NFL. Austin Corbett from Nevada, I got a chance to watch him somewhat recently, and you're talking about a college left tackle who's almost certainly going to have to slide inside. I think he can be a guard. The Senior Bowl listed him as a center, so you talk about his versatility. This guy plays with really good technique. He's got a nasty demeanor. I like Austin Corbett a lot. Brandon Parker from North Carolina A&T, Ross, I just got a chance to watch him over the weekend. Big kid. He's like 6'7 plus. I want to say he's 315, so he's got an NFL frame. Really long arms. Pretty confident with his feet. He's got a nice strong punch and pass pro. He's a little bit wild with his hands, and I think he can get a little bit better just in terms of his overall pad level and just the small things at the position. But there's something to work with there. This Brandon Parker kid from NCA&T, the same school that put out Tariq Cohen last year from the MEAC, I think Brandon Parker is a guy that you can really work to develop. Timone Paris is a big kid from Stony Brook who I think is a little bit more raw. I think he's going to need a little bit more time to develop. And Skylar Phillips is a guard center from Idaho State and a guy that I think needs to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. Also, from a technical standpoint, not all the way there yet, but a guy who plays with an edge, tries to really get every inch that he can in terms of getting ground at the point of attack. So Skylar Phillips, I think, is a really interesting player. But overall, this group, Crosby, Corbett, Parker, that's a pretty good place to start with for the Senior Bowl in terms of offensive linemen.
What edge players do we have?
Well, they got Kylie Fitz from Utah, who missed some time with injuries over the last few years, and so is kind of a little bit of a wild card in this class. I wanted to do a little bit more work on him, but Marcus Davenport from Texas San Antonio is a player that I think is going to get a lot of buzz as the process unfolds. I watched him a year ago, and he's gotten better this year. He's been one of the most productive pass rushers in the country. He's in that 6'5", 6'6", 270-pound range. I mean, he's a big boy, but he plays as a stand-up outside linebacker in that multiple defensive front there. So he's asked to do a lot of different things. He'll drop in coverage. He'll play at the point of attack in the run game pretty well, and then also has the ability to collapse the pocket as a pass rusher. And if he can prove down at the Senior Bowl that he can be one of those top flight pass rushers, especially getting NFL coaching throughout the course of the week, you're going to see his stock start to rise. Kind of like what we talked about last year with Tano Passanio out of Villanova. He's kind of, you know, where you looked at him and you're like, man, this kid's a Greek god the way he's built. I think that if he ends up going the second round, I think that Davenport is a better football player than Passanio was at this point a year ago, and he ended up going in the second round. So we'll see what happens with Davenport, but he is a big body, really intriguing, and I think he just needs a little bit more polish with his use of his hands as a pass rusher.
What about the linebacker level?
So at the linebacker spot, you have Darius Leonard, who was really, really intriguing, a four-year starter at South Carolina State. I just had a chance to watch him. Someone that I had spoken with said that he compared him to Hassan Reddick. Now, Hassan Reddick played DN. He was more of an explosive pass rusher in college. Leonard is an off-the-ball linebacker. So you're not saying that exactly what he did in college translates to Hassan Reddick. But in terms of what they can be at the next level, I could see what he was talking about, because you're talking about a kid with really long arms. He's got the ability to play sideline to sideline, really disruptive. Darius Leonard, I was really impressed with that kid, so I'm excited to see him in person. Uchenna Nwosu from USC had a really hot start to the year and was really impressive. Kind of tailed off as the season went on, but an undersized pass rusher that some believe will have to come and slide in as an off-the-ball type of role. So it'll be interesting to see how he's used down there in Mobile. And then Mike McCray, the senior from Michigan, more of a two-down thumper, not going to be a full-time player at the next level, but there's still a role for players like Mike McCray. You saw how he kind of got abused in pass coverage against Penn State in that blowout win. I think that Mike McCray, not necessarily a three-down guy, but has the ability to impact the game at the NFL level.
What about the corners?
Yeah, a lot of small school guys. You know, Chandon Sullivan from Georgia State in the Sun Belt. He's kind of the guy that stands out the most to me, Ross, and I was really impressed with him in terms of his athletic ability, his quickness. He's got really smooth hips, the ability to turn and run. I want to watch more and really get a sense for his ability to play the ball in the air. But Chandon Sullivan, really impressed me overall. Then you go to Saran Neal from Jacksonville State, and another kid who's got really impressive physical tools. He's a little bit on the skinny side. He's 6 foot, under 200 pounds, but he's got good length. He plays with an edge, and I love that at the corner spot. He's athletic. I think he can play as a man corner right now and as a backup to start in the NFL. Not sure where he's at in terms of zone coverage. I didn't see a lot of reps of zone coverage from him in that defense for Jacksonville State, but a really interesting prospect that can really, honestly, can really help himself down there at the Senior Bowl. And then you get to some of these other small school corners. I mean, you got Michael Joseph from Dubuque, who's 6 foot plus, 210 pounds or so. He's got all the physical traits. He's got speed. He's just going to need to prove himself that, again, at the with a larger level of competition. He's coming from the D3 level. I want to see him get a little bit better as a run defender. Demontre Wade is another kid, Murray State with the Racers. He's got to get a little bit better in terms of across the board from a technique standpoint. Has been very productive on the ball this season. Duke Dawson from Florida over his career has played inside and outside. Danny Johnson from Southern, I haven't gotten a chance to watch it. The only corner that they announced that I haven't studied yet. But overall, I think it was 26 names that they announced on Monday afternoon. A lot of really interesting players that they've got so far signed up for the Senior Bowl.
What about any juniors or underclassmen declaring? I saw where the South Carolina tight end did.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst, who was on a lot of people's radar coming into the year. I want to say he's 6'4", 250 pounds. His production's kind of been up and down, but he did declare for the draft. For all of the underclassmen stuff, all you got to do, and we've had him on the show so many times, Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com, all over this stuff, and this is going back like weeks, right? So let's just buzz through the list of all the guys that he has said he fully expects to come out. UCLA left tackle Colton Miller, SMU wide receiver Cortland Sutton, who actually has reportedly received an invite to the Senior Bowl, so potentially could see him in Mobile as well. Indiana Simi Cobbs, a big physical player on the outside. Ohio State cornerback Denzel Ward, extremely talented corner. Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee, who we've talked about on the show, I think projects as a nice solid backup at the next level, spot starter type at the quarterback position. Northwestern's Clayton Thorson at quarterback. Washington defensive tackle Vita Vea, who compares to me to a Dontari Poe. He ended up going in the top 15 a few years ago. I don't know that Vea's going to go that high, but Vea's a really good player. Saquon Barkley from Penn State, we all know about him. Stanford's pair of Bryce Love at running back, Harrison Phillips at D tackle. I've heard Phillips is also potential going to the Senior Bowl. So that'll be a really interesting situation to follow with both Harrison Phillips as well as Simi Cobbs. But a lot of names already being talked about. I would say that's going to pick up now with the regular season about to come to a close. We'll start to hear about some of these other underclassmen declaring for the draft.
Yep, we will be all over that every week. We will let you know the latest on the Senior Bowl, the latest on underclassmen declaring, as well as breaking down some of the big-time matchups in college football this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Thursday night. There might even be a game. Let's do it. Let's go head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
Alabama at Auburn, 3:30 game on Saturday. It's a Saturday game, right?
It is, yeah. So there's on a bunch Saturday. Of Friday games this week, but it is a Saturday.
Yeah, on CBS, there's obviously a lot of talent. We've talked about the Alabama kids quite a bit, but specifically in this game, what are the matchups you're watching?
Well, you got to me, if Auburn's going to win this game, and they absolutely could win it, I like Alabama in the game, but I think Auburn could do it. They just got to follow the method that they used to beat Georgia at home a few weeks ago, and that is you got to stop the run first and foremost. So you look at those Auburn linebackers, Trey Williams, Darrell Williams, Deshaun Davis, a couple other young guys mixed in there at the linebacker level. They've got to keep Damian Harris, who hasn't carried the ball more than 10 times since the Tennessee game about a month ago, 8 for 93 and a touchdown versus Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. I love Damian Harris. I'm a big fan of his game. Bo Scarborough has the ability to bust one at any point, but has been more of a short yardage guy so far this season. And Scarborough, they got to keep those guys under wraps. If they're able to stop the run and they can make Jalen Hurts beat you, I think that they've got a chance. Now, the difference between Georgia and Jake Fromm and Auburn, or in Alabama and Jalen Hurts, is Jalen Hurts can beat you with his legs. So that Auburn pass rush has to be able to get home, but they also have to be able to keep Hurts contained in the pocket. If you can make Jalen Hurts beat you from the pocket, I think that's probably the best case scenario for that Auburn defense. Can't forget about Calvin Ridley on the outside, the stud receiver, the junior for the Crimson Tide, getting matched up against a really talented corner at times in this game. Carlton Davis, 6'1", 203 pounds, 3 pass breakups in the last 4 games. He's a guy that is really, really intriguing. I'm excited to study him more. Anytime I've watched Auburn, he has stood out. But those are the matchups on the offensive side of the ball when Alabama's got the football.
All right, what about when Auburn has the ball?
It's all about Kerryon Johnson, and you got to be able to stop Johnson in that run game. It doesn't look like they're going to have Cameron Petway, the hammer, in this game. So you're talking about Kerryon Johnson, who really led them to victory against the Bulldogs a couple weeks ago. He racked up over 130 yards again this past week against Louisiana Monroe. Who are you looking at in the Alabama front seven? Well, they've lost Sean Dion Hamilton at linebacker, but keep an eye on Rashawn Evans, who has really elevated his game from last year to this year. Again, a former pass rusher that is converting to more of an off-the-ball role for Nick Saban for over the last 2 years. 9 tackles 2 weeks ago against Mississippi State, 5 sacks in 5 games. So it'll be really interesting to see how this Alabama front seven can keep Kerryon Johnson bottled up. It's going to be a huge part of this game. On the offensive line, look at the senior guard, Braden Smith. He lines up at right guard. And the Alabama defensive tackle, Dayron Payne, 6'2", 308. Really powerful, heavy-handed kid. But who also, you're going to see that when Auburn makes some plays in space in this game, and they're going to pick up some chunks of yardage at some point, you're going to see like a 315-pound, 320-pound defensive tackle come flying into the screen from out of nowhere, and I guarantee you it's going to be Dayron Payne. So watch out for Dayron Payne in this game. And then also, when you're talking about Auburn, it's going to be the vertical passing game. You're through Ryan Davis and Darius Slayton and Will Hastings. This Alabama secondary is going to be in for a big test. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, hopefully he's back. He missed the last week's game after he got dinged up against LSU a couple weeks ago. Anthony Averett, you've got the other kid, Levi Wallace, at the senior quarterback spot at left corner for Alabama. Tony Brown, Ronnie Harrison at safety. Star-studded secondary once again for Nick Saban. They got to keep this passing game for Auburn in the vertical part of the field. They got to keep them under wraps. So those are the big matchups to watch in that game.
All right, so then let's get to some more individual matchups around the country.
Yeah, so you got the Thursday, you've got Mississippi State and Ole Miss, and the matchup to watch there, Martinez Rankin, the senior left tackle for Mississippi State, going up against this Ole Miss D-line. Breeland Speaks is really athletic, had 8 tackles last week against Texas A&M, has the ability to play inside, outside, wherever they line him up there for the Rebels. And then Marquise Haynes is extremely explosive off the ball. He's undersized for sure, but 7.5 sacks this year. He hasn't got one in a couple weeks. I'd look for him to get one in this game. Marquise Haynes is a really interesting player. And then you get to Black Friday, Miami against Pitt. We talked about Chris Herndon earlier in the show. He's going to get matched up against a junior safety, Jordan Whitehead, who is if you're just looking at it on film, is one of the most talented defensive backs in the country. 5'11", 195, 10 tackles versus Virginia Tech last week, or the last time they took the field. Whitehead is an intriguing player for sure. He's missed some time with suspension this year so far, but a really intriguing battle there on Friday. And then when you get to Saturday, you're going to love this, Ross. There are a ton of battles in the trenches to watch. You go to Ohio State, Michigan. Billy Price, the star center for the Buckeyes, getting matched up against Michigan defensive tackle Maurice Hurst in this game is going to be really fun to watch. Maurice Hurst, 5.5 sacks in the last 6 games. He is on a hot streak. I'd keep an eye on that matchup in this game, even though I do expect Ohio State to win. Then you've got Notre Dame and Stanford. We talked about the Stanford defensive tackle. Harrison Phillips has been very disruptive this year. 5 tackles last week against Cal. How is he going to match up against Quentin Nelson, the best interior lineman in this draft, the best offensive lineman in this draft, if he were to declare? Potentially a top 5 player overall in this class. I don't know if he's going to get drafted that way, but Quentin Nelson, from a pure talent standpoint, is one of the best players in the country. Oklahoma against West Virginia, with keep an eye on Mark Andrews, big receiver. He's probably going to be a tight end. 4 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown last week against Kansas. He's going to get matched up in this game against Kaiser White more than a few occasions. And it's funny, both these guys are kind of used in different ways than I think how they're going to get used in the NFL. Kaiser White projects as a strong safety and potentially even a linebacker convert, 6'2", 216 pounds, 10 tackles, 2 pass breakups last week against Texas. That'll be a really interesting one-on-one matchup in this game.
Love it, Fran. Cannot wait to check it out. Should be awesome. You can remember to follow Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. He's got his Saturday scouting article for those of you that absolutely eat this stuff up. And if you're not eating, if you're shopping, make sure you click on the Amazon banner ad over at RossTucker.com. Other than that, keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wisman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong.
What
do
you
say?
I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James?
To grace. And then watch them fall from grace.
Who doesn't
like that?
They
inevitably do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.